Office rents are rising for the first time in 3 years. Does that mean companies are expanding again?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning. From American Public Media in New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, is the commercial real estate market on the rebound, and why should we care? But first, where's Wall Street? Markets are basically flat right now. The Dow is exactly even, 11,670. The NASDAQ up just about 0.1%. The S&P 500 down about 0.1%. We'll get numbers in a few minutes on November factory orders. President Obama will sign a food safety overhaul into law today. It'll allow the government to force companies to recall products that are deemed unsafe. Now to a potential rebound in the market for office space. The property research company Reis says last quarter office rents rose for the first time since 2008, and the amount of occupied office space also jumped. Let's get some reaction from Julie Neiman, an analyst at Smith Moore & Company. She's with us live. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So do you see a rebound in the office space, commercial real estate sector here?
Well, we didn't have apocalypse part two, like everybody was expecting with the real estate bubble here. The housing basically had lax lending, huge optimism. Commercial real estate, you've got more longer-term pension funds, insurance companies, and a lot of that debt has been restructured. So it didn't fall as far, and it's coming back, especially in prime areas, A, B, and C spaces.
A, B, and C spaces. What do you mean by that?
Well, downtown is where everybody's going now, the A space. That's highly visible, modern, updated, good leasing packages. The banks and financial companies have been moving down there. They delayed it over the last couple of years, just squeeze in another desk. That's where you're seeing this good resurrection in properties. Now, the B spaces, they're glass office buildings along the highways. Who was there? Those were the mortgage lenders, home builders. They're dead. That's going to be very slow in coming back. And the strip malls, well, those are 25 years old, no renovation. You just have flea markets there and skateboard areas, so they're perfectly dead. The investment is coming back in the A space, and that's where the resurrection in office buildings are coming.
Are you in an A space, Julie?
I'm here in the basement at home.
Okay. Julie Neiman, analyst at Smith Moore & Company, thanks so much.
You bet.
Well, office rents aren't the only thing going up. Prices for some global commodities have spiked as much as 20% in recent days as flooding continues to ravage northern Australia. Entire crops have been wiped out because of the floods. From Sydney, Stuart Cohen reports the ripples will likely be felt far beyond Australia's borders.
At this busy supermarket in Sydney, the price of fresh fruit and vegetables hasn't gone up just yet. But like the slow-moving floodwaters in Queensland to the north, shoppers know it's coming. All they can do is wait.
There's not a lot you can do, especially with fresh goods, and that's what I buy mostly of. So fruit, vegetables, and meat, they go up, then I pay more.
Floodwaters have left orchards of mangoes, melons, and bananas coated in thick mud. So prices of those fruits are expected to quadruple and possibly stay that way for months. The prices of wheat and other grains are also expected to spike. John Cummings is head of the National Retail Grocers Association.
That's a huge effect on a whole pile of different products. Pumpkin has doubled in price in the last 5 days. Some fruits we won't see this summer. They're finished.
Queensland is a major exporter of wheat, sugar, and coal. That could affect everything from the price of candy to the price of steel in the U.S. Wheat prices are reportedly already up as a result. In Sydney, I'm Stuart Cohen for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, offering Save the Game, a financial literacy app for children designed for iPod Touch and iPhone, available on the App Store. And by Reputation Defender, monitoring, protecting, and helping improve your online reputation while deleting personal data from websites that sell it. ReputationDefender.com.
When the NASCAR season gets underway in Daytona next month, racing officials will be crossing their fingers for a big turnout. NASCAR was once the fastest growing sport in the country, but its popularity has stalled in recent years. From St. Louis Public Radio, Adam Allington reports.
Tennessee's Bristol Motor Speedway, one of the most hallowed of all NASCAR tracks, had a streak of sellout races dating back to the Reagan administration. In 2010, that came to a screeching halt. Jim Pedley is the managing editor of the online publication Racin' Today. He says the empty seats at Bristol are far from unique.
The last Talladega race looked 60% to 70% full. It's still 100,000 people, but there used to be a time when you couldn't get a ticket to a race like at, say, Daytona or Talladega.
And it's not just fewer fans at the tracks. Since signing a $4.5 billion deal with Fox and ESPN 4 years ago, NASCAR's lost nearly one out of every four TV viewers. During the 1990s, when NASCAR made its push for the mainstream, it opened tracks in places like Las Vegas, L.A., and Chicago. In 1997, racer Al Unser Jr. attended the first race at Gateway International Raceway outside of St. Louis.
The type of investment that has been made here will sustain the top form of auto racing for many years to come.
Unfortunately, that wasn't the case. Gateway saw its last race in October and is currently up for sale.
The NASCAR events just haven't been profitable for us.
Terry Harmison manages the track for Dover Motorsports. He blames Gateway's demise on the continued down economy.
If I knew all the reasons why people didn't come, I hopefully would have solved those and found some way to get them to come, but some people don't have any of that extra money to spend, or they got to make decisions as to where they spend it.
Eager to put the past behind them, NASCAR points to increased sponsorship revenue, including a multi-year partnership with American Ethanol. But as Jim Pedley notes, NASCAR's not out of the pit yet.
I think at this point, they'd be pretty satisfied if they could stop the bleeding. If you look at the TV numbers next year, and they're about the same as they were this year, I think they'd be pretty happy about that.
On the bright side, if you're a fan, you're in a buyer's market. Tracks across the country are slashing prices, hoping to fill seats. In St. Louis, I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
And finally, from racing to trucking, the moving truck company Allied has come out with a list of the top relocation destinations of 2010. Turns out more people are moving to Texas than any other state. Colorado, Florida, South Carolina, Arizona, those round out the top five. At the other end of the spectrum, Allied says Michigan, Illinois, New Jersey, New York, and Pennsylvania lost the most people. Well, I'm in New York, and perhaps I'm the only person left in America who doesn't mind the cold weather so much. I'm Jeremy Hobson on Twitter at Jeremy Hobson, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
You know how when you call customer service and you get a robot on the other end of the line? Turns out the sound of that voice actually matters.
Voice quality does play a role in the initial perceptions of whether or not a problem will be resolved.
I'm Kai Rizdal, improving the automated experience, and the rest of the day's business news next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.